Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Grab It Quick News. This is the sixth episode of season 5 on my podcast. I have completely missed the summertime. Please excuse my absence. We are halfway done with this season. 3 more episodes left and the season is done. And as always, I appreciate every single listener and writer. We are in the 9th month of 2023. Fall is less than 2 weeks away. Yikes, the kiddos are back in school and 2024 is creeping upon us closer and closer. Fall is always a great time to reflect and be thankful for your goals and personal accomplishments throughout the year. I hope that we are all able to do that in a safe and loving place. Let's get started. This episode is going to go a little differently because I have a lot of splaining to do. I have been gone for a total of 4 months and I sincerely apologize for my leave of absence. Some of you know that in March 27th of this year, I, Jessica Gravett, retired from the adult film industry. Why? Well, I'm going to leave that unanswered until the last episode of the season where I'm able to answer any questions that you all may have, and I'm pretty sure that one question is going to be on the top of your list. So soon after my retirement, I opened a food and lifestyle blog called Good Time Gal, GoodTimeGal. For those of you who aren't familiar with the term, a good time gal is someone whose chief concern in life is seeking pleasure. My pleasure, other than sex, is food, and I'm very passionate about food equity and sustainability. Once I released the blog, it got an overwhelmingly positive review, and before I knew what was happening, I was asked to participate in an online cooking contest called the Favorite Chef Cooking Competition. It's a cooking competition that was hosted by the famous Carla Hall. The winner received $25,000 along with a full spread and at-home magazine. Miss Hall chose who she deemed worthy to cook with. Unfortunately, I only made it to 5th place in the cooking competition, which is still great, and it is so much a blessing as well as validation that I'm on the right path. Shortly after that, I know, a lot of shortly afters, right? I published my first cookbook, which is available on Amazon Books, called Good Time Gal Cookbook. My cookbook features simple yet delicious recipes for the chef who wants to cook smarter and not harder. The beginning of 2023 for me has been so amazing. I am so grateful, honored, and thankful that I got to share my passion for food and cooking with everyone around the world. The outpouring of love and support that I received has made me feel like I am the smartest, most talented chef. I am even now more motivated to continue my success in the culinary world and can't wait to show you guys what I have in store. All right, let's get started. As a gentle reminder, if you're not 18 or older, you should not be listening to this. The first letter is going to come from our female in California. She writes, "Dear Jessica, my husband's mother is always in our business." Always is in all caps. At first, I thought she was nice, but I overheard her on the phone with my husband. She has called me lazy and ungrateful, even though I am the primary breadwinner in our marriage currently. How do I tell her to back off? Ooh, first off, female in California, thank you so much for trusting me with this letter. You got a crazy mama-in-law. No. You didn't really give me a lot of specifics, like, is he the only son, or, you know, has she done this before? If anything, I don't think you should speak with the mother. I think you have to speak with your husband, because anytime there is someone who has an issue with you, but they're not speaking that issue directly to you, they're speaking it through someone else, then you need to have a conversation with them. The reason that I say that is because you don't want your husband to feel like you're making him make a decision, like it's me or your mother. And even if it feels that way, you still don't want that. You want to be able to resolve this in a peaceful manner, because if this is your husband and you want to keep him and do the happily ever after, you also, you know, got his mother as a part of that. So what I think could happen is you may want to sit down, because I'm not really sure. You also didn't tell me if you told him that you've overheard these phone conversations. And my thing with that is he pushing it off when she says that you're lazy, or is he just kind of being quiet and agreeing? Because I would have a problem with that. If we're supposed to be taking these vows seriously till death do us part, and you're letting your mother call me lazy, and you know that I'm not, you know that I'm bringing in, you know, the majority of our income, I'm providing for our household. If you know anything that she's saying is, you know, slanderous, and you're not acknowledging that, you know, that means you're not really standing up for us. And if you're not standing up for us, you're not really standing up for this relationship. And that's where it comes in when we say, you know, when you get married, you want to make sure that you have a strong foundation in your relationship. So this is one of those times where, again, I'm not going to go to the mom, me personally, because the issue isn't with the mom. The issue is really with your partner. And if you feel like you can't speak with him about this, then you guys may need to go to counseling and get a mediator so that you feel like you're in a safe place and that you can voice these opinions. Because there is a statistic that shows that when a couple hangs out, a married couple, they hang out with an older couple who has been together longer, they generally can help you stay together. But what you're telling me is that this isn't about an older couple or a younger couple. This is just his mama butting in. So with that being said, I would go ahead and try to make sure that I tell my husband exactly how I feel in that situation. And if it doesn't get better, then you may have to find a new husband. And I know I don't want to sound callous, but, you know, it's like someone said, you know, I'm glad that they love me, but they're not loving me the way that I need to be loved. And that's okay. It's okay for someone to want to love you. And it's okay for you not to be able to accept that love because it's not the way that you want it. But generally, when people love you, they will accommodate that love for you, right? So thank you so much for this letter, and I hope it works for you. Our second letter is from a male who lives in Alabama. He writes, "Dear Jessica, I have been sexting with a trans female for the past 9 months. She is everything I want in a partner. She is kind, she is funny, she gets my sense of humor, and she is gorgeous. I just surprised her with tickets to visit her for a week. I told my best friend about it, and he told me that if I had sex with her, I would be considered gay. I am nervous now, and I am second guessing if I should go or not. Any advice would be helpful. Thanks." Oh, well, thank you so much for the letter, male in Alabama. So you've been sexting a trans female for the past 9 months. That is a long time to be sexting. So I'm sure those fingers are red, or the thumbs are calloused, because that's some hardcore sexting. So I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. You said that she's everything that you want in a partner. It seems like it's a natural progression in a relationship. What it sounds like is this really your best friend? Because I know my best friend, if I told them, hey, I found the love of my life, I don't think they would care what it looked like, because they could see the love I have for them in my eyes. So you may want to reassess the label that you're putting on this friendship. Because if the first thing that came out of that person's mouth was, if you guys have sex, you're considered gay, to me, that's very callous. And it's also homophobic, because again, this person, trans stands for transitioning or transsexual, meaning that you've changed that. So by all means, if she is a female to you, then she's a female. And however you guys decide to be sexually intimate with each other, that's your business. Does that make you gay? No, because again, she is a female. And you're going to have to get very comfortable and secure in your sexuality as a man, because this is not going to be the first, second, or last time you hear that. And a lot of trans people want to live transparently. They want people to know their story. So that can come with a lot of heat. And if you're going to be this person's partner, then you need to be able to stand by that person whenever things get bad. If someone calls them a slur, are you there to emotionally be there for them in those down times? It's not going to always be peachy keen. Relationships are complicated. Whether or not you are trans, whether you're cis, whether you're bisexual, whether you're polyamorous, relationships are complicated. And I find one of the things that complicates the relationship is our own ego, and then listening to other people about our life. And I never really got that memo. Like, I don't listen to other people about my life because it's my life. And at the end of the day, when we all, you know, have that long walk to death, you die alone, right? So your best friend, I'm going to be honest, he sounds like a hater. So I would go on the trip. But before you go on the trip, I think you need to have a conversation with her about what was said and how you handled it, because you guys need to work through this together. I don't think you should hide this from her. I think you need to be like, hey, babe, I really want to see you, but this is what one of my friends said. And yes, you're going to get heat for this. You're listening to your friends. Or she may say, well, how do you feel about that? But at the end of the day, you need to have a real conversation, because, again, you guys have been texting for 9 months. You think she is everything you want in a partner. I would go ahead and take that leap and visit for that week. And if it is what you say it is, then you guys continue. If it isn't, then you guys can go ahead and go your separate ways. Thanks so much for the letter. Our third and final letter is from a female who lives in New Jersey. She writes, Dear Jessica, my boyfriend told me he likes me better when I dress and act slutty. I do not like to dress like that because I was raised strict Catholic. When he gets me outfits, they are always very low cut, sexy lingerie, or really tight, revealing dresses. I always feel self-conscious when I wear them, but he tells me if I love him, I will do this for him. Please help. You don't like to dress like that because you feel self-conscious and you were raised in a strictly Catholic home. I had some friends like that back in the day. I had a friend who was raised strict Catholic, and I had a friend that was strict Presbyterian. And when I would go over to their house, each one had a shoebox full of like stuff, like, I'm going to be able to wear these heels once I get out of here. Like, it was the funniest thing to see, like, certain objects they weren't allowed to have because of their religion. So they had like a little chest or like shoeboxes. And once they moved out of the house, they were free to wear what they liked and free to do what they liked. A lot of the times, if we grow up in a very strict religious household, those beliefs can stick to us even if we ourselves don't believe them. But we have had what we call a trauma response. So every time your mom saw you in a tight skirt and she called you a bad name, it caused trauma. And then she did it repeatedly over a course of your teenage life. Every time you see a tight skirt, you're going to hear your mom's voice, right? Saying a bad word. So that's how you have to look at how you were raised, your upbringing. It's a automated response now. So anytime you feel uncomfortable wearing certain things or uncomfortable, period, you have to really become self-aware of yourself, and you have to be like, okay, is this me saying I don't want to wear this, or is this my mama who used to threaten me an inch from my life for wearing it? And if you can sit within yourself and you can say, it's my mom, then give yourself grace and let it go. I also want to say with your boyfriend, I don't know if you guys have had that conversation about the trauma that children who grow up in strict religious backgrounds have. And this is trauma. And I know you're going to go, well, it was just church. But when you are made to go to church every Sunday, stay, go to the early service, go to the mid service, go to the late service, and then we're going to have the pastor over. And then Wednesday, we got to go to Bible study. And then Friday, we're going to mission. And then Saturday, we're going to, you know what I mean? That is still a very structured routine, similar to people who get out of prison. Usually people who get out of prison, they still feel like they're incarcerated, so they do certain things. Like they may line their shoes up, they may fold their clothes a certain way. It's the exact same thing when you have been in a strict religious home. You may pray after grace even after you have said, you know what, I really don't believe in a lot of the religious things that are said. Or even Christmas time, there may be certain traditions that you do because it's been ingrained so deeply into you. So you understand what I'm saying? This response that you have is ingrained into you because in most religions, women are at the bottom of that patriarchy. We are taught in religion to be submissive and to make sure that we are seen without any flaws. And unfortunately, a woman expressing herself sexually, a woman wearing what she deems, you know, worthy for her to wear, that is not a submissive woman. That is a wayward woman. But the truth of the matter is, there is no such thing as slutty, submissive, or anything like that. It's all about the freedom of perspective and how you look at it, right? Because we're in a day and age where women can wear what they like, men can also wear what they like. And I also want to challenge you to remember that God created your entire body. He created your brain. He created your bosoms. He created that derriere. So if God didn't want anybody to look at it, would he created it the way that he did? This is the same with, you know, religious women who say, I'm not supposed to have pleasure during sex. I always like to remind them, you do realize God created the clitoris exactly for that purpose. There's no other purpose for that button on your body except to experience pleasure. So just remind yourself that God created you to experience love, happiness, and pleasure. And there is nothing wrong with the way that you look or feel, especially if it's contrary to the beliefs that you grew up in. You just have to have grace with yourself. And when I say grace with yourself, I mean, don't feel bad about feeling how you feel. Just feel that emotion, let it go so you can move on. And then you can make a conscious, educated decision. Do I want to dress sexy because it's what my boyfriend wants? Or do I want to dress sexy because, hey, I really like this dress and it makes my boobs look great? That's the line that you want to go for. And if this is your boyfriend and he is pulling the, well, if you love me, then you'll do it for me, you need to also pull that card on him. If you love me, then you will give me some grace to get used to this type of relationship, and I will then be able to accommodate you even more. Now, if he is not able to do that and he keeps moving the goalpost or he starts making you feel bad about it, that's your cue, homegirl, to leave. Because no real partner is going to make you feel bad about a choice that you made because it made you feel uncomfortable, right? Relationships are always about consent, equality, reciprocity. And if those things aren't in any relationship, then they won't work. I want to thank you so much for the letter. All right, Team Grab It, that's the end of my podcast. As always, thanks so much for stopping by. And remember, be good or be good at it. Bye.